Hello there. This is Benny.
And this is Kyle.
And you're listening to The Doctor's Watcher,
the dancing podcast about every episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, we got our dancing shoes on. Kyle, would you care to dance? Let's dance the night away. Dance, dance, dance.
Indeed. Dance with me and dance.
And dance.
Dance, yes, dance, dance.
As they say. Dance with me and dance. That well-known saying. Well, it's been a minute since we recorded. We skipped the last recording session that we had scheduled. So it's been 6 weeks since we've recorded Doctor's Watcher. Wow, has it really been that long? And so if we're a bit rusty, now you know why, as opposed to just our usual level of making no sense.
Yeah, the last one was scheduled in the middle of December, or maybe towards the end of December, and December in general just kind of got away from me, and the time for the day for the recording came, and I was like, you know, I haven't actually watched any Doctor Who, so we probably can't talk about it.
I think you just make something up. I'd probably believe you.
But this time I have watched some.
Oh, good. That's a relief, Kyle. I'm sure our listeners are also happy to hear it. Yeah, the holidays do be like that sometimes. So totally understandable.
Yeah.
So given that it's been a minute since we've done one of these, Kyle, what have you been up to?
So I have been playing some Baldur's Gate, as we talked a little bit about off mic.
Yes.
I am getting close to the end of Act 1.
Cool.
This probably isn't really a spoiler or anything, but I'm in the Mountain Pass area.
Oh, and the Mountain Pass.
Yeah.
Interesting. You took the pass through the mountain.
Well, I've been in the Underdark already. Now I'm going back to the Mountain Pass.
So you went down and then up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a choice there. I'm not at that part of the game yet. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I, too, have been playing Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 3, BG3, as the cool kids call it. But I'm not as far as Kyle, so I don't know any of this Mountain Pass, Underpass, Mountain Dark stuff that he's talking about now.
Let's see what else. I also picked up the recent Super Mario Brothers game, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which is...
Yeah, you are a Mario fan.
Yeah. It's another one of the like more two-dimensional side-scrolling ones, which I probably tend to prefer over the three-dimensional running around ones.
Yeah, it's got that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, I have an older brother, and he and I would play a lot of Nintendo growing up. And as the older brother, he would tend to be player one and would play as Mario, and I would play as Luigi.
And, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds fair.
You know, that's how it goes. Yeah. And these days, you know, I'm basically the only player. My partner doesn't really play Nintendo games with me much. And, you know, the modern games basically let you choose who you want to play as. And I still tend to pick Luigi because that's just who I play as.
Oh, I don't know if that's like cute or kind of sad.
I mean, he is also like green, which I prefer over like red and blue, but.
Oh, okay. Well, if you genuinely love Luigi and it's not out of a sense of like not being able to play as Mario or something.
Nah, Luigi is just cooler.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm not much for Mario myself, but lately I've been just playing Baldur's Gate. And every now and then, my partner and I will play some Disco Elysium.
Nice.
So we've been making our way through that. That's a fun one as well.
Is that actually a co-op one, or is it like one of you plays while the other one watches and helps, or...?
Oh, yeah. It's me holding the controller while my partner, you know, makes the decisions.
Cool. That's fun.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, given that you have watched Doctor Who this time, Kyle, I am excited to hear what happens in it. So shall we launch into it?
Let's do it. This is the third episode of The Celestial Toymaker, the 32nd episode of the season. And it's called The Dancing Floor.
Nice. This is a dancing podcast, after all.
It is indeed.
So, Kyle, season 3, episode 32, The Dancing Floor, how'd you watch it?
This was another reconstruction, so...
Man, I keep hoping that at least one of these episodes exists. Maybe the next one.
Maybe. We'll see.
Assuming this isn't the last one in the serial. okay.
Yeah, I didn't have any particular notes on the reconstruction this time.
Yeah, all right.
Would you
like to hear the Cliff... I think you would like to know the Cliff Dangler.
I would.
All right. Well, speaking of dancing, our heroes, they're going through this like... all right, hold on. Let me do a better job here. Dodo and Steven are going through this series of challenges that the Celestial Toymaker is making them do while the Doctor... The increasingly invisible and intangible and unable to speak. I can't quite remember exactly everything that the Celestial Toymaker has done to him, but he's been playing this like logic puzzle game, moving the pieces around, and that's serving as a timer for Steven and Dodo, who have to complete a series of rooms and find the TARDIS. They're like basically doing these little escape room type challenges. And the latest one, I don't quite know what the challenge is, or I can't remember how much we heard about it, but I do know that after they pass through into the new area, the dolls that they had previously tried to awaken, I think they're like ballerina dolls or something. They got up and they followed them through the door. So we're curious to see what that's going to turn into.
Right. And they had received a clue, which was this little rhyming couplet, basically. Or I guess a pair of couplets. Hunt the key to fit the door that leads out on the dancing floor, then escape the rhythmic beat, or you'll forever tap your feet.
Excellent. I think our heater just turned on. If there's a sound in the background, my apologies. It's freezing cold in here and our heater just turned on.
No worries. The episode starts with a brief scene where the Toymaker congratulates the Doctor on his astute companions.
Ah, very cool.
And then he selects basically Steven and Dodo's next opponents from the dollhouse that he got the clowns from. And this time he selects Sergeant Rugg and Mrs. Wiggs.
And are they once again played by the same actors?
We haven't quite seen them yet, but they are.
Okay. Because I think they also played the King and Queen last time.
Yeah.
Very cool. And one of them is Edith from Allo Allo, I recall. Right.
Man, excellent. I haven't seen Allo Allo in forever. I need to...
Yeah, same.
I think it's not on BritBox last time I checked. I need to find somewhere that has it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what has it either.
Steven and Dodo are up against the door into the next area, but it won't open. Dodo is starting to get scared because of the ballerina dolls that are following them now, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would be scared too.
Uh-huh. She tries, like... ordering them back to their cupboard, because it was theoretically like, you know, her and Steven ordering them to come alive in the first place or whatever. But, you know, this obviously doesn't work. That would be too easy of a solution this time, at least.
Yeah. And for all we know, we might need them for the next challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might, you know, be a hindrance or even an enemy. So who knows?
For now, they basically just block off the passageway that Dodo and Steven came from. And once they're in position blocking off this passageway and have stopped moving... Matilda, kitty kitty.
Our co-host.
Once they're in position, the door to the next area does go ahead and open. And it reveals an old-fashioned kitchen.
Interesting.
So the two of them head into the kitchen.
Is this would this have seemed old-fashioned to them, or is this only old-fashioned to us because we're watching it from the modern day?
No, this is probably like late 19th century, early 20th okay. century kitchen.
Gotcha.
So the kitchen contains a policeman and a cook. Of course, this is Sergeant Rugg and Mrs. Wiggs.
Uh-huh, okay.
Dodo just, like, tells them the riddle and asks for help, which the cook is able to offer.
Oh, nice.
Well, the only dance you've got I know of is through there.
Okay, well, I guess the DM's like, you know, there's another room you haven't been to yet.
So they go to the door that the cook referred to, and it's locked.
Well, okay.
The policeman starts hassling Stephen, telling him that there's no loitering and it's time to move along.
Damn, ACAB.
Uh-huh, seriously. Stephen, though, starts engaging in playful banter with him, and the local shipyard starts working on a new commission.
Excellent. All right. So would this be the, I don't even know, Stevug or
I think it would,
Sargeevan?
Yeah. Either be Stevug or Rugven maybe.
Oh man. I don't know.
Matilda, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Matilda also has opinions on this ship name.
Yeah, strong ones, it sounds like.
An old 50 cups in my nice clean kitchen, Sergeant, if you please.
Oh, it's a good thing you spoke just then, Cook. No telling what I mightn't have done to him if you hadn't stopped me.
I can't wait to get his hands on him.
Uh-huh.
No telling, huh?
They have a little bit more banter, and then they all kind of collectively realize that the first part of the riddle is telling them exactly what they need to do. Hunt the key to fit the door that leads out on the dancing floor.
Yeah, I mean, the door's locked, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Then the game is hunt the thimble.
Only it's a key. And a rather large one at that.
I guess hunt the thimble is a thing.
Yeah, presumably.
Alrighty.
Some 1960s British game for kids, man, I guess. Yeah, I think
This is what people did before video games.
Maybe we should try that before the next recording. We'll each play a game of Hunt the Thimble instead of Baldur's Gate.
I think I prefer Baldur's Gate. Thanks.
So over back in the Toymaker's chambers, the doctor's disembodied hand, which, as you might recall, is the only part of him that is visible and tangible.
Uh-huh.
It's resting on the armrest of a chair, which upsets the toy maker because not playing the game is not allowed.
Man, I feel like, I don't know, this guy keeps coming up with new rules.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand it because the whole thing is like, the doctor's game is supposed to be the time limit for Dodo and Steven, so if the doctor just like doesn't play, that's kind of cheating, but still.
Yeah, and then, like, how fast does he have to play if he's, like, going intentionally slow?
Right.
At what point? Yeah, I don't know.
So the toy maker just advances the doctor's game from move 734 to move 770.
Yikes.
The doctor's disembodied hand does make a move in the game from there, but he's apparently still going too slowly for the toy maker. So the toy maker advances the game to move 813.
Oh, man. I feel like at this point, the toy maker should just, like, set a timer or something.
Yeah. That certainly would be easier, it seems like.
And, like, if you want the doctor to play, don't, like, antagonize him. I don't know. This is why no one wants to play with you, toy maker.
Seriously. Dodo and Steven start searching the kitchen. Steven finds a person sleeping in a chair. And
wait, what? Just like randomly, did we forget to look, or is it like behind a cupboard? Or
The answer to that question, I will say, is not clear due to reconstruction.
Fair enough. Well, I'll just assume that they, like, open a cupboard door and there's just a person in there.
It's the same actor who played the Jack of Hearts, but he's wearing chef clothes. Steven actually recognizes him as the Jack of Hearts.
Cool.
Steven checks the sleeping person's pockets and even, like, kind of lifts him up a little to check in the chair underneath him, but there's no key there.
Okay. Man, getting a little personal there.
Dodo, meanwhile, successfully casts Charm Person on Sergeant Rugg and is able to recruit him to help them search the kitchen.
Adding a temporary party member. Good thinking.
Yeah, totally. Mrs. Wiggs starts trying to stop them and impede them and everything because, of course, her kitchen is getting trashed in all this searching. She insists that they won't find the key here.
Well, she could help.
Yeah, she could, but she doesn't. I guess Dodo only had the one charm person.
Yeah, fair enough.
Eventually, dishes start getting broken in the search, and Sergeant Rugg and Mrs. Wiggs start shouting at each other. It was Sergeant Rugg who broke the dishes, I should mention.
Yeah, man, like, some people, you give them some power and they just abuse it. What's it with these cops, man? I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, the type of personality that is drawn to the job of being a cop is, you know, definitely the type that wants power.
So they say.
So they're shouting at each other. Dodo starts getting upset, thinking that it's all her fault. Steven basically tells her to ignore them, and they're just distractions to prevent them from finding the key. But, you know, it gets harder and harder to ignore as their fight gets louder and more intense.
Oh, geez.
Dodo intervenes, and she convinces Sergeant Rugg to apologize for breaking the dishes. Mrs. Wiggs accepts the apology, and it seems like things are going to be okay, but then they break down into fighting again when she asks him to pay for the broken plates.
Pay for the... Now then, you see why soldiers never apologize? Give the old trout an inch.
Oh, trout, is it? Just you wait for that, Sergeant Rugg. Oh, trout!
Awkward.
Yeah.
Steven and Dodo are just kind of standing there like, what about this key?
The two of them try to continue the search as best as they can. And Sergeant Rugg, in his arguing with Mrs. Wiggs, I guess, like, threatens a pie that she's been working on. And this really trips her up. She seems, like, super concerned about the pie in particular.
Yeah, man, you don't threaten someone's pie. Come on.
Dodo realizes, though, that inside of the pie is basically the only place that they haven't looked yet for the key.
I mean, you know, and she gets out, like, a fork and knife, and she's like, I guess we're going to have to look inside this pie. Might as well eat it on our way.
The best I could tell, she actually just, like, smashes it at her feet somehow.
Man, come on.
Like, in the distractions. That's probably
a delicious pie.
Yeah, seriously. But it did have the key in it, so she and Steven rush into the next room, and she, you know, as they go, she apologizes to Mrs. Wiggs for the whole mess.
Mrs. Wiggs is like, and I baked such a nice cherry pie, and Stephen's like, cherry pie is my favorite. and then Dodo has to, like, pull him out of the room.
The toy maker appears in the kitchen, and he chastises Sergeant Rugg and Mrs. Wiggs. He tells them that the next room has a TARDIS at the far end of it, and they need to prevent Steven and Dodo from reaching it at all costs, or he'll break them like the plates.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good threat.
Dang. Not a nice man, this toy maker.
This podcast is amazing.
Amazing.
The emissaries from the seven planets will arrive as arranged, and we will tell them all about this podcast.
Tell your friends.
Write a review and leave it with a 5-star rating.
We obey.
So the PCs head into the next room, and they find basically a raised triangular platform, and the three ballerina dolls are already here in this room. They're on the platform, and they're performing a dance.
Would you call this a dance floor?
I would indeed.
I mean, I guess I was picturing more of like a club or something, but I'm guessing that the music is more like ballet style.
Yeah, it's like a waltz of some sort.
Okie doke.
Of course, we don't actually get to see the dance because we're just watching a reconstruction, so we just see like a static image of the three ballerina dolls while we hear the music.
So maybe they're raving to the waltz. We don't know that they're not.
Uh-huh. The music stops, and they apparently revert back to their like mannequin doll form, and the TARDIS appears behind the dance floor.
Oh, that was easy. I thought we were going to forever tap our feet. Apparently we're going to be tapping our feet for like 30 seconds.
Well, Steven's about to just like head on over to the TARDIS, but Dodo stops him and reminds him that like shit's probably dangerous.
Yeah, that was too easy. Come on. We knew it was.
The two of them discover that like if they hold their hand over the dance floor area, the music starts. But when they pull their hand back, like, and they're not over the dance floor, the music stops again.
Interesting. Can they go around?
It really looked like they probably could, but they didn't try that, so.
Okay. I mean, maybe there's just something that we're missing because of the reconstruction.
Yeah. Mrs. Wiggs and Sergeant Rugg enter the room, and they've basically apparently made up, and Sergeant Rugg is taking Mrs. Wiggs out to the ball.
Aw. All right, now we need a Wug. Riggs?
I think Riggs sounds better, but Wug is funnier.
Yeah. There's some words where when you say them out loud, you start to wonder, like, man, I hope this isn't offensive to some group out there. That one sounds like, I don't know, maybe it could be.
Yeah. Steven is concerned about time because, of course, he knows
this is Doctor Who.
Uh-huh. The episode's going to end at some point.
Well, also because this is a show about time travel.
He knows that, you know, he and Dodo need to find the real TARDIS before the Doctor finishes his game.
Uh-huh.
So he decides to just go for it. Of course, as soon as he steps onto the dance floor, the music starts and he starts dancing to it.
Hell yeah. Break it down.
Uh-huh. He seems unable to control himself. You know,
I'm really sad we don't have this episode. I would love to see what kind of dance Steven is doing.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, he's just so taken by the music that he can't help but dance. The ballerina dolls, of course, also start dancing and move, like, closer and closer into Steven.
Uh-oh. Three at once may be a little too many partners.
Uh-huh.
Too many dance partners. It's going to wear him out and there will be nothing left.
We briefly cut back to the toy maker's chambers where basically nothing happens.
With the doctor being basically invisible and not even being able to speak, I mean, there's not a whole lot that you can do here other than the toy maker monologuing.
Yeah, the doctor's hand makes a move or two in the game, and the toy maker makes like a comment or two about Stephen and Dodo's quest, and then we cut back to the dance floor.
Alrighty.
It is pretty difficult to follow what happens, but here's what I gathered from the loose canon action subtitles.
Okay.
So one of the ballerinas has partnered with Steven and is dancing with him.
Hot.
And he can't get away from her.
Hot. Problematic, but sexy.
Uh-huh. Steve-arena, maybe?
Sure. Yeah, Steve-arena. I'm here for it.
Dodo decides to try going for the TARDIS. So she steps onto the dance floor, and a second ballerina grabs onto her and starts dancing with her.
Oh, wow. This is, all right, I'm not even going to pretend that this is like progressive or anything. So we've got Dodorina?
Dodorina, yeah, totally. Sergeant Rugg and Mrs. Wiggs decide that one of them will dance while the other one will try to get to the TARDIS.
Is that an option? Like, I feel like if that was an option, Dodo and Steven would have tried that.
Yeah, you'd think.
And also there's still one. Well, maybe that's their thinking, is that now two of the ballerinas are occupied, and so there's only one more left to dance with someone. And so whichever one is not going to dance with the ballerina would be free to get the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, actually.
Okay, yeah, that okay. could actually
I'll
work.
I'll give them that.
So Mrs. Wiggs steps onto the dance floor, and when she does, I guess instead of just the third ballerina grabbing onto her, all three of the ballerinas kind of move around and rotate partners.
Huh. So we're forming a little polycule here. Okay. Uh-huh.
So the ballerinas that Stephen and Dodo are dancing with each change partners. Mrs. Wiggs gets a partner. So, you know, Stephen and Dodo and Mrs. Wiggs all still have a ballerina, just a different one than they did previously.
All righty. It's kind of hot. All right.
Sergeant Rugg steps onto the dance floor next, and all three ballerinas change partners again, and Stephen is left without a partner.
That worked out. All right, nice.
Uh-huh.
They should have paid more attention to the pattern there,
yeah.
Sergeant.
He's still kind of dancing. He just doesn't have a partner. And I guess he kind of dances over to the Dodorina partnerhood ship.
Okay, sure.
And I am really not sure how, but he somehow like gets Dodo away from her ballerina, and Stephen and Dodo dance with each other, and they waltz their way like across the dance floor and into the TARDIS.
All right, yeah, I think this is one of those scenes where reconstruction will never quite do it justice.
Yeah. This TARDIS, of course, is another fake.
I had a feeling.
They can't even find, like, the next clue or a way out of the fake TARDIS into the next game area.
Oh, okay.
They pause for a few moments to basically discuss the nature of their opponents. Dodo insists that when the toy maker breathes life into these dolls and playing cards, they take on lives and wills of their own and are basically beyond the toy maker's direct control.
Yeah, that's consistent with what we saw.
Yeah. She thinks this is why they keep losing to Dodo and Steven.
And always you doing something silly and human.
Human, you say, almost like they were once humans themselves. I mean, we sort of saw that already, right, with the playing cards.
Yeah,
but I don't think that Stephen and Dodo might not have been in the room when they were talking about it.
Yeah, it's sort of implied that, all of their opponents are like previous people who lost to the toy maker.
I wonder if we're meant to like assume that these two people that we keep seeing the same actors, that it's just two people that I guess it would be just two people who failed the toy makers games.
Yeah.
And are now stuck, you know, forever playing.
Dodo says that she'll never look at a doll or a playing card with an easy mind again.
What about clowns, Dodo?
She already didn't look at them with an easy mind, maybe.
Fair enough. Question withdrawn.
And she can't help but wonder what happened to Sergeant Rugg and Mrs. Wiggs, like, after the dancing, basically.
Yeah.
We see that what happens to them is that the toy maker shrinks them back down into dolls and puts them back into his toy chest.
Clowns! Nursery characters! Playing cards! I was foolish to trust you to play my games for me. You're all too human, too kind. I must find a more deadly character.
Well, we did see a robot earlier. A toy robot.
Uh-huh. He looks through his toy chest and selects a doll of a fat, jolly schoolboy who is the deadliest character of all because he looks so innocent.
Not what I predicted.
The GM realizes at this point that the game's obviously not going to advance if Dodo and Steven just stay trapped in the fake TARDIS.
I mean, okay, yeah.
So Dodo notices a note on the wall that she and Steven apparently didn't see earlier.
Uh-huh. It's one of those, and then the GM is like, there's a note on the wall. Yeah, there's a note on the wall. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it says, here's how to get to the next room.
It's actually even better than that. As she takes the note off the wall basically falls open, revealing the dark passageway to the next room.
Perfect.
They read the note before proceeding.
Lady Luck will show the way. Win the game or here you'll stay.
All right, we're heading into the big finale.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe.
Of course, this...
And I was just going to say, sorry, that doesn't tell us a whole lot. unless it's like something that's going to be completely luck dependent. Uh-huh. Like, you know, spin the wheel of death and, one slice of it is going to be you get out and everything else is various flavors of death. But we'll see.
Yeah, I had basically the same comment without the Wheel of Death, just that this note didn't really offer them much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they
unless
just...
Unless there's going to be a literal Lady Luck that, uh-huh, like, they have to seduce.
That'd be fun.
Stuck ship.
Doduck.
Luckdo.
So they head down the passageway, and at the end of the passageway, they find Cyril the schoolboy, who is the same actor as the Jack of Hearts and the sleeping person in the kitchen.
Huh. So as a schoolboy, is this like a grown-ass man being like, I'm a little schoolboy? or what are we dealing with here, Kyle?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. This is Cyril the 35-year-old schoolboy.
Oh,
if
boy.
Not like,
okay.
45-year-old.
Wow. All right. Cool.
He starts things off by shaking Steven's hand and shocking him with one of those hand buzzer thingies.
Classic.
This
the clowns already basically do this type of thing to him.
Yeah, basically.
There is like some sort of clownery that happened.
Yeah. This pisses Steven off. Which, fair, I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah.
Dodo calms him down, or tries to at least, while Cyril says that he was just trying to be friendly.
I don't like this guy.
Yeah, I pretty much immediately didn't like this guy.
Weird vibes.
Yeah.
The vibes are off.
He offers Dodo some sweets, like a whole bag full of candy.
Like, come on, dude. Come on.
She accepts them. She, like...
What?
She takes the bag from him and like puts it in her pocket. She doesn't actually eat any.
Oh, okay, okay.
When Cyril tells Stephen that he wants to be just like him when he grows up, Stephen kind of lampshades the fact that it's a fully adult actor, saying that he looks pretty grown up to Stephen already.
I love it.
Uh-huh. Stephen asks where the next game is, and Cyril points it out to him.
Yaru, it's right over here.
You won't find it so easy this time, you know. Because you see, you'll be playing against me.
Yeah, rancid vibes.
Yeah, Cyril sucks.
Absolutely rancid.
Yeah. The reconstruction cuts back to a static image of the Doctor's Trilogic game, and as we stare at that for several seconds, the words, "Next episode, the final test," appear on screen.
Okay, okay, so we can basically conclude that that's going to be the last one.
Yeah, I think with that episode title, we can hope with a pretty good certainty that it will be the end of the serial.
Well, Yaru to that. I still like this serial. I mean, I always like these kind of weird spaces mm-hmm. where people have to go through some sort of challenge area. Yeah, this has been interesting. The pie solution to the key puzzle was kind of fun and delicious. although they didn't end up actually eating the pie. The dancing thing, like, yeah, I think we can at least conclude that maybe I headcanon that they realized that if you're dancing by yourself, you're just kind of stuck dancing in place. But if you're dancing with a partner, you can move around because that's the dance that you do. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they figure out that if they dance together, Stephen and Dodo, then they can make their way across to the TARDIS.
Right. And like when they're...
Who knows? I mean, it's as good an explanation as I think we're likely to have.
When they're dancing with a ballerina, they're not really able to lead. Like the ballerina basically leads the dance and like holds on to them tightly. But yeah, then when the two of them are dancing with each other, obviously, you know, they can go where they want, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll accept that as the explanation. Well, it's interesting. And as we've heard before, I'm sure they were able to do this on a shoestring budget. After John blew the budget on the last one.
Right. So, we thought we could stop shaking our fists at him after the last serial, but maybe that lasts through this serial.
Well, or not, because maybe having to come up with something they could do on a short budget made them get creative.
That's true.
And gave us something kind of interesting, because, yeah, I'm digging it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I can accept that.
All right, well, next week, we'll see if Lady Luck is on their side. So we'd like to thank... Or hold on, do you have more notes?
No.
Okay, well, in that case, we'd like to thank Circus 23 for the awesome theme song that he made for us. When he's not playing Mario, you can find his music on Bandcamp and SoundCloud or email him at circuit.23@gmail.com. And I'd like to thank Kyle for watching Doctor Who and telling me all about it.
And I'd like to thank Benny for listening to me talk all about Doctor Who.
And listeners, thank you for listening to me listen to Kyle talk about Doctor Who. We'd love to hear from you. You can always email us at thedoctorswatcher@gmail.com. These days we're pretty much not checking the socials anymore, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that, listeners.
If you contact us on social, I'll probably see it eventually, but email's probably faster.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so we'll dance our way to the next episode and see you in 2 weeks. All right, hold on. We'll put you on our dance card for 2 weeks from now for the next episode of Doctor's Watcher.
Nice.
Bye.
Why don't you go back in your box?
What happened? Why, you young whippersnapper,
You'll what?
Well, you need a good item, me lad.
Who's going to give it to him?
An old 50 cups in my nice clean kitchen, Sergeant, if you please.
Oh, it's a good thing you spoke just then, Cook. No telling what I mightn't have done to him if you hadn't stopped me.
Oh, you're a terrible man when you're round, Sergeant.